Good morning. You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin, Jeff Eason, and Bob Hinkle. Today, we're talking about the most prolific artists, and specifically artists from the region and that have appeared on WNCW's airwaves, trying to look at what makes them tick, what makes artists like Neil Young record practically everything he's ever done, versus perhaps some other artists just not releasing material beyond a couple of records or taking long, long breaks in between.
Well, Joe, I take the view that a little self-editing is a really good thing. You can oversaturate the market and maybe not put out some of your best things. And also, you don't give your fans a real chance to absorb what you've done previously before you bombard them with another release. And the act that I will use as an example is the Avett Brothers. And I know they are one of the favorite bands that are being played on WNCW right now, but I'm worried that they're just putting out every single thing that they're recording. And I don't think they've really put out a really strong, cohesive album since Mignonette. And they've gone a little bit softer. They're really into their kind of love ballad songwriting right now. And I just think that their fans aren't having a chance to absorb all of their stuff.
You have poked the hornet's nest.
I do so with trepidation because I love the Avett Brothers, but I think they just need to hold back a little bit.
That's an interesting thought. This is a real provocative topic. I started reading some of the statistics on there, and I was really surprised at who has sold things. I think it's different from what I thought just from listening to radio. And I found myself thinking, well, you know, without looking at that, who are the most prolific people of all time? And my thought was maybe Irving Berlin, you know, or Rodgers and Hammerstein, or Duke Ellington, or Elvis. And it turned out a couple of those are true, but some of the people are really surprising. Did you look at that list, Bob?
Mm-mm, no,
I
but
can't
you're going to you're
gonna I like the way Irving Berlin spread it over 100 years, though.
I know, and Rodgers and Hammerstein. Yeah. But Elvis, you know, Duke Ellington, I think, was up there near the top also. And it made me start thinking about regional people who are prolific and who have done long-term recording, like, you know, Mark Pruitt, Arville Freeman, when I was spinning bluegrass discs. It's hard to find a bluegrass disc in the Southeast United States that Arville Freeman did not play fiddle on. It's amazing. Brian Sutton, as young as he is, is now on, like, it's hard to find an upcoming singer-songwriter that doesn't have him on there. And Steve Sutton on banjo, way less known, most likely, but if you look at the lines of regional recordings, that guy played banjo on like every recording coming out of Western North Carolina. It's amazing. Quietly, you know, no one knows who he is, but he played on so many recordings. Or Ralph Lewis from the Sons of Ralph, who was the original guitar player on Bill Monroe's Jerusalem Ridge, and yet is still, he's 82, he's probably on 5 tracks this year. So it's a really interesting topic.
I've joked about if you want to have Tim O'Brien show up, just start making a record.
Right.
There he is.
Right. Unless we forget Doc Watson and talk about prolific for a
really
long
time.
Oh, gosh,
yeah.
And so there's a fine line between making enough material to keep an audience engaged and then slacking off of that and waiting a really long time and just having people basically walk up to you on the street and beg you to make a record a la Gillian Welch. But do you go too far, like maybe say a Ryan Adams, and just release after release after release to the point that folks are just like, eh, I have the last one.
Well, I think maybe that there hasn't been a proper conjunction yet of how people are buying music now and how people are making and recording music now. And the usefulness of, and I decry this greatly, but the usefulness of a well-crafted, you know, here's what I'm feeling this year LP ain't what it used to be, because people tend to be buying track 1 and track 5 for 99 cents on iTunes. So it gives the artist pause whenever they have to figure out how to put everything across in that kind of an environment.
Oh, I hate that. I hate to hear that. I mean, for example, I listened to the Steep Canyon Rangers. I took some time yesterday and listened to their new CD in entirety. It's spectacular, and it covers such a wide range of material. I hate that people won't get that whole picture.
And as far as band goes, I completely understand the theory where you just want to strike while the iron is hot, you know, and if you've got a good thing going, you know, you don't know how long this band is going to last. I take Acoustic Syndicate, for example. Seemed for a while there, they were putting out an album every 6 months, and it may seem like they were saturating what they were doing, but they didn't last that long as a band. So now we have these five or six really, really strong albums by this band that didn't really kind of last too long. I know they have reunion tours, but Jay is playing bass with Donna the Buffalo, and all the other guys are doing different projects, and they're all married now. So it's not like the heyday of Acoustic Syndicate, and they did a really smart thing by recording all of those tracks when they were all together.
And can we sort of look at the word prolific and broaden it out a little bit to not just what the people are doing with their music, but what they're doing with their lives and their time and stuff, because that's part of being prolific. I don't know if NCW's ever played a Harry Chapin track here, but not that I've heard, but Harry's career as a singer-songwriter was 10 years long before he was killed. He recorded 10 LPs. He did 2,000-plus concerts. He did two television shows, a little-known fact. He got one Oscar nomination for an old boxing film that he did. He raised $6 million, $10,000 at a time for World Hunger, convinced right now that we'd have a singing senator from the state of New York if he was still alive. And talk about a man doing something prolific with his time that was led by his music. He's the premier example for me.
It was raining hard in Frisco.
Wow, that was good.
Not bad. Pretty close, actually.
What do you think? Email us whatitis@wncw.org. We're talking about making a lot of material as an artist. What's the line? Was too much or not enough? For Public Radio, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin, Bob Hinkle, and Jeff Eason. Until next time.